your neighbor's hand tonight. Tell them, hey, this is how we praise them. This is how I praise him. This is how I praise him. I praise him like this. Tell somebody, I praise him like this. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now we got room for other things, and we're gonna open the book tonight, but you might as well just go ahead and take advantage of this and have yourself a fit in the Holy Ghost. The people praised him. You could hear it afar off. And when Israel praised him, you could hear it afar off. Come on, come on. Get something in your hand. Get something in your hand. Wave it in the air. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Ain't nobody do me like Jesus. Hey. Hey. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if I were you, I'd get it right now. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I would get it right now. You can have it right now. Hey. God ain't dead. He's alive. Feel him in my hands. Feel him in my feet. Feel him in my heart. Feel him all over me. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. You do what you want to do. I'm going to give these children time to have a Holy Ghost fit here. They're praying for one another. You may not understand that. You may not agree with that. But I'm glad they're in the house of God tonight. Charged. Set on fire by the Holy Ghost. Hey. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. joy that I have. This joy that I have. Turn to somebody and say, the devil didn't give it to me, and the devil can't take it away. Praise God. What are y'all doing? We're having a party. We're having a celebration. You see, God's not dead. He's not still hanging on a cross. He's not still in a tomb. He's kicked the door off of death and hell. We're having a party tonight. We're celebrating a risen Savior. We found out that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And the band played all night. Yeah, you act all indignant. But when you were living for the devil, you partied all night long. You drank till there wasn't anything else to drink. You drank till you couldn't walk. And you just want to give God a little FaceTime? When the first crowd saw the first 120 believers, they said, these people are drunk. They came staggering down out of an upper room filled up with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Thought they were drunk. I got a feeling they were having a celebration. Praise God. All right. On to other things. Boy, if they'd have just sung that song one more time. If they'd have just let it go. That's the wrong mentality. You need to jump in both feet right when we're cranking up. With God, you just need to jump in with all of your might right off the bat. And hair, teeth, and eyeballs. Just let God have his way. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're excited about all that God's doing. Had a wonderful outpouring of the Holy Ghost this morning. A young lady was back right about where Brooke's standing. And what's her name, Sister Brooke? Yell at me in that big voice. Jenna. Jenna got the Holy Ghost standing right there this morning after most everybody had left. And they baptized her in the water in Jesus' name. She was born of the water and of the Spirit, and her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. She's in Bible study, and God's going to bring her along. And we're excited about that development, about what God's going to do in her and her friends. Praise God. And in us. Praise God. There's something outrageous in this house tonight. Okay. Well, now listen to me. We've got some serious things to talk about. Why don't you have a seat? And we're not going to read a text per se tonight. I'm going to break the form if you can. I just want to talk to you from my heart. Now, some of the things we're going to talk about, you could respond to them in any number of ways. But when the Word of God comes to you or the counsel of God comes to you, you need to sit up and embrace that Word and be glad that God's talking. Praise God. So we'll talk about some serious stuff. But at the end of this, I really don't want to have 50 people on their face. Oh, God, I'm a failure. I mean, it's okay to repent in tears and grieve before God over sin, but not very long, because that's not the nature of the kingdom of God. Esau wept bitterly and sought repentance and never did find it. It's a change of heart and a change of mind and a decision, a steely determination that you're going to do what God has asked. Praise the Lord. Now, for several weeks, we've been talking about glorifying God. Who in the house wants to give God glory? Praise God. You really do. You want your life to glorify God. All right. All right. Well, we do, because there is this fantastic updraft, this redemptive lift. As we glorify God, everything in life gets better. And our homes and our families and our lives and our thought life and our internal life is just so much better. There's a better quality of experience in life. Our potential is fulfilled, and we walk in the promise of God in ways that we can never when we're not glorifying God. Okay. And so we're gonna open the book today and tonight. And what I just want you to do for a text is just think on the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God, the whole purpose of man, is to obey God, keep His commandments. Okay, so that'll be our text for tonight, Brother Jimmy. So I want to glorify God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to do what it takes to glorify God. It is so easy to get desensitized. It's easy to get desensitized. We could do a little experiment in psychology here tonight. And if we had one of these fluorescent units that was buzzing, and people have actually done studies like this. Praise the Lord, Brother Robert, Sister Valencia. Kadarius and Cornelius and Kiana. And good to see you, sister. Praise the Lord. It's a common thing and widely known that you can become desensitized to almost anything. A buzzing in the room, after a while, you don't hear it anymore. But it drove you nuts when you first began. A crying baby. You get used to that and sleep through anything. Anybody ever used a chainsaw or heavy equipment? When you walk away from there at the end of the day, you're desensitized to almost everything around you. All of your senses are just kind of rattled and dulled by that. You spend a day out on the water in a boat doing water sports or whatever. And you're kind of dulled. Your senses are dulled. It's easy to get desensitized in a psychological sense and in terms of your natural sensories. But it's easy to get desensitized morally and ethically and spiritually. And it's so common, everybody knows about the frog in the pot. Everybody knows the story about the frog that... Really, now, well, you ought to ask the Collins, because they may be the only people in the house that actually cook frogs, but they don't boil them. Old Sister Willardine says she does. She's offended. But they don't boil them. They fry them, probably. You fry frog legs. But you can take a frog and put him in a pot of tepid water, tap water, and turn a fire on under him, and he'll sit there, and because of his amphibious... physiology or amphibian physiology, as that water heats up, his body temperature heats up, and he doesn't know he's in danger until he's cooked. He has no idea. Tell him to come to church. He doesn't know. And the frog in the pot has become a byword for people that are in circumstances that are negative for them, but the circumstances are so subtle and so continuous that they become desensitized. And as the pressure ratchets up, or the intensity of the negative ratchets up, they are degree by degree, lulled into a sense of security, and they don't know it until they're cooked. I want you to know something. In our nation tonight, we are nearly well done. And I don't mean in the biblical sense, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I mean, we're nearly cooked. It's about over for this country. Do your own historical survey of Greece and Rome, every great society that's fallen. It's corrupted and rotted from the inside. Rome wasn't destroyed by the Visigoths. It died from the inside. The United States is the only world power right now. But there are others emerging, but they won't matter if we rot from the inside. And it is imperative for us, in the midst of what Peter would call in his day an untoward generation. Our generation is, you could call them an untoward generation. They're riding off in all directions. They have no vision, no clear vision. They are bent on self-destruction. And what's on the outside of your life ultimately will affect you. What's on the outside of your family ultimately will affect you. What's on the outside of this church will ultimately affect us. And if you don't have enough power on the inside, your individual life is going to collapse. And if you don't have enough power in your home, your household power is going to collapse. And if you don't have enough power in your church is going to be swept up in the attitudes and the immorality of the day. And it'll just become another statistic in a long line of people who thought they might have revival one day, who thought they might make a difference in their generation. But the world just inexorably crushed the very heart out of their experience in God. When I begin to think about that, I get angry. When I begin to think about that, something rises up on the inside of me for my own life and what God has done for my household, for this church family. We've got to get an attitude about this. It may be out there, but I'm going to change that. That is not going to change me. That is the nature of salt. It changes everything, but nothing changes salt. And he said, you are the salt of the earth. You've been put in the earth to be a change agent, not to be changed. Israel had that same job description. And everywhere you look in the Word of God, with only a few exceptions, they were overcome by the cultural, societal, religious pressures from the outside. And they began to emulate those things around them. They began to love the things around them. And as they did, they lost the power of God. They lost the capacity to glorify God. And because of that, they lost all of the positives and the powerful things that are part of the promise of God for the lives of those that are covenant people. Praise God. Everybody say praise the Lord. All right. So we're going to look at some things tonight. And talk about some things. And there's a lot to be concerned about in our world. We don't spend a lot of time railing against the darkness. It's our job to lift up the light. We don't spend a lot of time, ooh, look at the evil out there, because there's always been evil out there. And we're not all that impressed by the evil, because a bunch of us came out of the evil. And it's as evil now as it was back then. And evil is evil in every generation. And you'd be hard-pressed to say this is the most evil day. Because there's been some bad times in history. You know. But tonight, it's good for us to look at some things that might be subtly making their way into the house of God. And touching the people of God. And as we do, we want to make some decisions about those things. And we want to talk about them in a community sense. So that we stand strong against things that are coming against us. Now, if you are not a part of this church and you are you're not a part of an apostolic church or a fundamentalist church like this, what I talk about tonight might seem a little intrusive, a little bit strange to you. And come again another time. And we'll have a good church, and I'll preach to you. And maybe something evangelistic, or 10 ways to make all your dreams come true or something. And, you know, come again another time. But sometimes it's good for families to sit down and just do business. Okay? Everybody say praise the Lord. One of the areas that is very pervasive and has great potential for evil in our society and in our church is the portal of the internet. You can close your door to things that you don't want in your home. And you can refrain from going to the bar room and going to the crack house and going down to the places of worldly entertainment. You can come out from among them, but you have to be careful what you open your door to. Because of that concept and the wisdom of our apostolic forefathers, the United Pentecostal Church, the apostolic church world, took a position years and years ago in the days of Barney Fife and the Lone Ranger that we wouldn't have televisions in our home. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, we don't have televisions in our home. Now, see, that's what I'm saying. If you're not a part of this, this doesn't make a lot of sense to you. But see all of the things that are depicted on television today. And by the way, television may well be the most notable cultural place of exchange in our society. It may well be the most prominent cultural stimulus in our society. It has made the city and the country one. It has brought cultural influence into little backwoods towns and little farming communities. And now everybody has access to the same sin. They talk about the same things. And so because of the wisdom of our elders, we took television out of our homes. It's a part of the Articles of Faith, the United Pentecostal Church. And because of all of these evils and things like them, we don't have televisions in our home. Now, the United Pentecostal Church International is a fellowship of preachers. It's not a fellowship of churches. And so I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And this is America. You do what you want with it. Don't ever walk out of here and say, that's what the preacher makes us do. Don't do that. Because that's not intellectually honest. That's not the truth. I'm telling you what the Word of God says, and we extrapolate counsel from that, and then you do what's good for your life, your home, your family, and your eternity in God. If you think it's okay to sit down and watch people whoring around all day long and violence on every hand and profanity in prime time and sexual innuendo on every, if you think that's comparable, if you think that that's compatible rather with godly living, and if you think you're sitting in front of that thing gives God glory, well, knock yourself out. But if you don't, then you go through the house, you unplug every one of them, you take them out and sell them or shoot them or junk them or... depending on your attitude towards such things. So we don't have that, but quickly that position is becoming a moot point. Because quickly everything that's available on television and far worse is coming into your home via the portal of the internet. And it's here, and it is one of the most subtle and spiritually bereft things that the enemy has ever done. And now it's in, how many of you have access to the internet in your home? Okay. How many of you work with the internet almost every day? Okay. And so it is already here. Is it a Trojan horse? And has it come among us to cause us to compromise our experience with God and to fail to glorify God? Those are reasonable questions. And we've made decisions on technology based, in years past, the apostolic world has made decisions about technology based on the service of that technology or the utility of that technology. And television has no service, no utility at all. It's purely an entertainment and perversion medium. And so there is no redeeming quality, and so we gave it thumbs down. But a lot of you are working every day with the internet. Some of you are doing school projects with the internet. Some of you can't really go to school without the internet. They don't even sell encyclopedias anymore. You'd have to dig out grandma's world book or I'll sell you a set real cheap. This past few weeks, something's come to my attention, and it's a site on the internet called MySpace. Now, how many of you parents know that your children are on MySpace? How many of you children, your parents don't know what MySpace is? Children are going to be real quiet about this. How many of you kids have a place on there and you have a friends network there? Okay. Danielle says she has one. A young person brought a survey off MySpace to the attention of someone here at church this week. And I would read it to you, but it is so sexually explicit, I would be embarrassed to read this in mixed company. And mainly because of our children that are here in the house tonight. And there are some innocuous questions here, silly questions here. And then there are some sexually explicit questions here. And this survey came through the homes of three of our families, came through the hands of three of our young people, and because they have friend networks of up to 16 people, all of their friends had access to this too. Now, this may have been something that was sent purposefully, and it may have been something that piggybacked on something that was being sent. And the kid may not have ever known what he or she was sending. And the purpose of this tonight is not to crucify somebody who has committed some horrible act here and sent these things. But I have some concerns here. One concern is that it passed through several hands and only had one kid wave the flag and say, hey, it's really negative things going on out there. And because of that, I want to submit to you that we may well already have an adolescent group here that are desensitized. They're hearing it. They're handling it. They fly through it. They see it and go and just make their way. I'm not saying they're wicked or they're evil, but at best here, they're growing desensitized to a worldly influence to the degree that it could change their whole experience in the kingdom of God. Just want to read you. I'm a Neanderthal about the computer and about the internet and everything. I still preach to you off a legal pad, and I make my notes in ink. Now, listen to me. And I never wear these because I preach to you out of a Bible for the blind. But I ran off everything I ran off in draft, in tiny print. So there's no way I can accomplish this without. But I am about to be twice over a grandfather, so I kind of fit the role here. Elder C.G. Weeks used to say, "You hear me now? Listen." So, you hear me? Listen. Here's a... Now, People Magazine is not a godly publication. It's a tabloid that is filled with who's whoring around with who's whore. And who's excited because they're having a baby by I don't know who. You could do a whole thing on who's on first, with whose baby's daddy is whom. I can't even get the language straight. But People Magazine has an article on MySpace. MySpace Nation, it's only been out a couple of years, but it's already like the fifth busiest site on the internet. It started out as a place where people could advertise their bands and their gear and their music. And it's become an amazing internet success, and it's worth untold billions of dollars. On the first page here, you have a picture of a young lady who came under the attention of a sexual predator, and you have the picture of four sexual predators who have been arrested for arranging liaisons with people working and trolling through MySpace looking for vulnerable targets. Launched 2 years ago, MySpace has swiftly become one of the biggest hits in the history of the internet. Has 80 million members. It's the biggest player in the web's networking niche, which also includes such sites as Facebook and Zanga. It's geared for teens, young adults. 20% of the site's visitors are between 14 and 17. MySpace owes much of its popularity to the fact that, unlike old-fashioned chat rooms, it allows members to upload photographs, video clips to their own pages, include information about themselves. But along with success, MySpace has also generated considerable controversy. Crimes as serious as murder and rape have been linked to teens using the site, which has also become a preferred venue for cyber bullies and online pedophiles. Kids have posted tales and photos of their alleged drinking and drug use. Even a casual visitor can quickly encounter raunchy, explicit sexual advice or memoirs. Now, this is all out there. So if you're working on MySpace, then you're subject, or you're liable to be subject to all of those activities. As a result, a growing number of schools around the country have blocked access to the site. Now, these are secular schools with unholy agendas, and they see this as a problem. They see this as something they don't want in their schools. Everywhere I go, parents and teachers are very concerned about MySpace, says David Walsh, psychologist who heads the Minneapolis-based National Institute on Media and the Family. In the past 2 months, it's been on everyone's radar. I'm just giving you a few highlights in this article. In New Hampshire, Detective James McLaughlin of the Keeney Police Department, who specializes in catching internet predators, is astonished by some of what he stumbles upon. Some kids perform sexual acts on webcams, he says. We'd like to think it's from socially isolated kids, but some of them are high-achieving kids who are sound socially. Well, he's got a conundrum in his presentation there. They're performing sexual acts on the internet, but he thinks they're sound socially. Parents can't believe it. Detective Allie Bartley, 30, of the Boulder County Sheriff's Office in Colorado, got her first taste of MySpace in February when she began investigating an alleged rape of an 18-year-old woman who said she met her attacker through a mutual friend on the site. I'm not a prude, says Bartley, but I was shocked when I started looking through MySpace. As she began to look through, she saw that it was like a tour through a dumpster. It was like walking through a place you'd never want your children to go. Accessing areas where you wouldn't want your child to be. MySpace attracts more than its share of pedophiles, and scarcely a week goes by without news of a predator nabbed on MySpace. Dan Jackman of Louisville, Kentucky's Crimes Against Children Unit says, get off of it. There's no way to tell who's a pedophile and who's not. But that is far from a unanimous opinion. Now, here comes the other side, okay? And you're always, you know, we want to be clear, fair and balanced. We want to hear an objective side from everybody. Debbie Beach, a therapist in Northern Virginia who specializes in treating adolescents, points out that MySpace can offer some, you can tell by the tone of my voice how I feel about her, can offer some distinct benefits to teens. MySpace and other sites opens up a world where they can test out who they are and who they want to be. They can write uncensored, and they can test out identities anonymously. Well, that's great. That's just wonderful news. I'm glad that my kid has access to something where he can be schizophrenic. And this lady thinks that that's a good thing. Try on different personalities anonymously. And the anonymity of the internet and the anonymity of places, sites like My Place, is one of the major concerns that I have for our church family and for our young people. Reason being is when the devil got Eve off by herself without the counsel of God, And without the counsel of her husband, he began to work on her. Now, you got to wake up and smell the coffee on this. He's been destroying lives for 6,000 years. He's been taking down adults. He trashes preachers every year. He takes down grandparents. He is a destroyer of every segment of the kingdom of God. You cannot think that you are immune to that, somehow insulated from that. Somehow it will never happen to you. That's what happens to kids with a mentality of, I'm not the one that'll ever have a wreck. I'm not the one that'll ever flip my car six times going 70 down the interstate. That'll never happen to me. Well, it'll never happen to me that the devil will come in. I'm not worried. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not so much worried about the pedophile that's reading your material and piggybacking in on. I'm worried about the spirit that's sitting down right beside you. You've opened up a portal into your life. You've opened up a portal into your home. And I believe this with all my heart. In every activity, there is an attendant spirit. There is a spirit that hovers over this city. Read the book of Daniel. There are spiritual hierarchical structures and governments that parallel the governments of men. And in every sinful activity, whether it's homosexuality or in the bar room or in the crack house, there are spirits that get a hold of the heart and mind of the people that come under the sway of those activities. And when you open a portal into your home, like a television, like a movie, like the internet, you better know what's coming into your home. You better consider what spirits you're giving a place of host to as they come into your house. Somebody say praise the Lord. Here's Albert Mohler. He says, taking advantage of internet web place sites as MySpace, Facebook, Zanga, many teenagers and college students are creating personal blogs, which are essentially online diaries accessible to the public. And as he explains, these teenagers now pour out their hearts, minds, and angst in a personal diary, but it's open to everybody that has access to those sites. She also describes the problem this way, and anyone with a connection, including predators, can have a front row view of this once secretive teenage passion play. A 16-year-old girl in Port Washington, New York, was molested by a man who tracked her down because she's listed her personal information on MySpace. Teenagers say they know the danger, but apparently they are not aware of the consequences of that danger. Parents would do well to limit all internet access by teenagers. In general, teenagers are spending far too much time online and less time engaging in interaction with friends and parents and siblings and other family members. If you notice a person in your home gravitating to that computer and breaking ties with the rest of the family, it's time to take action. It's time to do something. It's time to set up some controls there. And I'm not just talking about MySpace. If you've got young men in your home, you have to have a filter on your computer, or you don't need to have the internet in your house. Amen. I'm just telling you. The pornography industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, and there's not a tiny little slice of that is supported by the female population in this country. It's all male. If you've got men in your house, if it's a daddy or a granddaddy or a young man, you've got to have a filter, or you've got to have the internet out of your house. You've got to have some kind of arrangement. Mama, daddy, you need to know all the passwords. That box needs to be somewhere out in the open where anybody can walk up at any moment and the kid doesn't say, parent, over my shoulder. You need to be able to be there to go through their gear. If you got a diary on the internet, mama and daddy need to be able to read it. You don't need to have anything out in a public forum that you're ashamed for mama and daddy to see. Here's the condemnation of the world. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness more than light. There's something that'll get on you when you get in front of that box by yourself and everybody else is asleep. There's something that'll get on you and it'll begin to whisper in your ear. You can be anything you want here. There's no accountability here. There's nobody watching over your shoulder here. You need to get that thing out of that bedroom and out into an open public room. You need to have access. You need to go to your mom and your dad and say, here's my passwords. I want you to look through this every day. I want you to go through here once a week. I want you to know where I've been and what I've done and who I've talked to. Praise God. Accountability will keep you safe. Discretion will keep you. You okay with this? All right. Albert Mueller declares that it's not healthy or safe, and parents who neglect to protect their children put their teens at risk. Teenagers with unrestricted access to the computer and internet are vulnerable. And as so with an adolescent that's given an automobile with unrestricted access, you wouldn't give your kid a car and keys and unlimited access. You wouldn't let them just up and go and run. You monitor your kids and everything else they do if you're an apostolic or a godly mom or dad. You want to know where they are and who they're with and how long they've been there and when they're leaving and where they went between the two. So Sutton and I had a wreck one night. We were driving with her cousin, and the guy fell asleep at the wheel on the way home and flipped the car up. We almost went upside down in a lake, and it was as close as we've ever come. And it took several hours to get all that done and get the car out of the bush and get everybody out and everything. And I had left my motorcycle at her house, and she spent the night with her cousin. I had to go back to that house and get that motorcycle in the middle of the night. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had them drop me off the street. And I came up like an Indian, and she was standing in the big picture window. Where have you been? Well, we had a wreck, and there were no cell phones. We had a wreck, and we almost died, and the car was upside down and barely got out of there with our life. Where have you been since then? She wasn't impressed with almost died, flipped upside down, dragged out by the skin of our teeth. You want to know where your kids are about everything. Why would you let them open a portal to a whole world that has the power to devour them and go sailing off into that portal without any adult supervision or any accountability to anyone? Articles from the Detroit Free Press. And I'm not going to, it's almost 8:30. I'm not going to go through all these articles. And you could, if you wanted to spend the time, I've highlighted articles from the Detroit Free Press, from the CBS News, from MSNBC, from different blogs and different concerns, from news and technology, and everybody has a concern about this area. Here's something from James Dobson's group, Focus on the Family. The web portal, which currently boasts over 45 million user profiles, has become a virtual gathering place for teens. The average user logs onto the site for 1 hour and 40 minutes daily, often chatting with friends and getting help with homework or checking out the latest band. However, not all the content on MySpace is innocuous. Examples of content are available that is available on MySpace. Free music downloads that sometimes feature edgy lyrics or questionable agendas. Affinity groups from everything from movies to cars to topics parents may not be comfortable with, such as gay and lesbian and bi and occult studies. Strong language, including uncensored use of the F word. Members, I want you to know, too, that as we look through this survey that I told you about a while ago, there's some obvious purposed misspellings to circumvent your filter. There's some obscenities that are used there that are misspelled so your filter won't pick it up. And you figure out a way to stop it, and they'll figure out a way to get around you. You've got to be involved with this. You've got to get them off of it. You've got to get them out of it. You've got to... All right. So I have some concerns in that area as your pastor. And as we're moving into this era where the internet is such an important part of a lot of our business lives and a lot of our communications, we as a church family have to take a long, hard look at this and make some decisions about how we're going to. You can't be passive about this. You can't just sit and let let the thing take its course in your home. You have to be the controlling agent in your interaction with this technology. Now, I've expressed some concerns here to you, but most of what I've read to you are the concerns of our world, the concerns of police officers and detectives and vice squad and porn squad officers and people that are concerned for your children. And they're concerned about disaster, and they're concerned about predators, and they're concerned about your child going off and having a rendezvous with some adult that set them up and wooed them and talked to them in such a way that was appealing to them. And you've got to understand there's more going on there than just words. There's a spirit there. There's a tractor beam for all you Trekkies. There's a drawing force there in a spirit that is beyond just the language that is used. But the concerns of the world are not our concerns. That's not my concern. Their concerns are avoiding disaster. Their concerns are, we want you not to get snatched up by a pervert of any age, shape, size, or description. We don't want you to get kidnapped. Well, that's a good thing, but that's a low expectation. I've got a higher expectation for the people of God. Let me just run something by you here. And I don't mean to be callous or unkind concerning the pain and the trouble and all of the nightmare that these folks and friends and family have been through. But in this highly publicized situation with Natalie Holloway, she's been missing for a year. She's dead. She's somewhere out in that ocean, a total nightmare for a mom or a dad. They'll never see their daughter again. And I've heard cable discussions about this, and I've read local stories about it, and I've heard all kinds of discussion about it. But Brother Ted, I have never heard anybody raise the question of what a young lady's doing at 1 o'clock in the morning, drunk out of her mind, half naked, in the presence of strangers, out on a beach somewhere. Nobody's discussed that. They're upset that she's dead, and rightly so. They're upset that she went away, and rightly so, that somebody perpetrated violence there. And those are legitimate concerns, but those are such low expectations. I don't want to create a construct here where you're just not going to wash up on an island somewhere, or somebody's going to take you out and abuse you and cut your throat. That's not my expectation for you. I've got a little bit higher. You see where the world's at in their thinking, though. They're desensitized to all this. They think you're nuts for your experience in God. But I'll just tell you right now, an apostolic mindset would say this. These babies got no right being in Aruba without their daddy. They got no right being half-dressed, half-naked in the presence of people they don't know. They've got no right being drunk out of their mind and placed in a compromising position. You understand what I'm telling you? The nightmare won't happen if we do this thing right. Now, we're not invulnerable. We are not immune to bullets or disaster or tragedy. It can reach into an apostolic church. It surely can. But our concerns are not the world's concerns. We're not worried. I'm not worried about the predator out there that's going to fool with your mind and fool with your spirit. My concern, Antoine, is that you've got a calling of God on your life, and you're a child of God. And our concern is, how great can we be in the kingdom of God? How much glory can I bring to the glory of God, the kingdom of God? Our concerns are not just to avoid a tragedy. Our concerns are not just to keep you safe from the perversion of the world. Listen, that's like being concerned about getting out of Egypt. Well, that's a good thing to come out of Egypt, but there's a land of promise to be had, to be conquered, to be experienced. My God, turn to your neighbor and say, you've got great potential in God. God's got a plan for each of these young. Do you believe that? God's got a plan for each of these young people. God's got a hope for them. There's great potential in each one of them, in each of these young married couples. My expectation for you is not that we'll just help you avoid falling off into some pornographic pit. Do you realize there's people that lose their jobs every year for engaging in pornographic sites on the job? Men and women with responsible positions. One of these stories that I didn't read tonight is about a teacher that got on MySpace and got involved with kids and lost her career. There's people every day that lose their jobs. They lose their means of supporting their families. They lose their position in their society. They lose their respect of their family and all the things that are important to them because they don't have power over that mouse and over the sites that they visit. Don't tell me there's not a spirit associated with that. But my concern for you is not just to keep you from falling in that pit. My concern is there's a household here. There's a potential here. There's a ministry here. There's power in God here. There's glory for the kingdom of God here. How great can we be in the kingdom of God? It's not just avoiding the pit of the world. It's about how great can you be in the kingdom of God? Somebody say praise the Lord. We're not interested in walking in low expectations. This is not just a tirade to fuss about childish pranks and being involved in naughty things on technology that's hidden from your parents. That's not what this is. This is not a slap on the wrist. This is saying, come on, look up. Come outside the tent. Come outside the world you've been living in and look up and see what God has for you. My God, God's got a promise. God's got a potential. God's got a power to release in your life. And you can't compromise it by hanging with these guys and fraternizing these spirits. Praise God. Praise God. You don't want to be dragging your Holy Ghost around in places that are going to diminish your power. You don't want to be dragging your mind around in places that are going to stymie the word of God you've buried in your heart. You don't want to walk in places that compromise the vows you've made to God. How many of you have said in your heart you want to glorify God? How many of you have said, I want to bring glory to God? I want to be a change agent in my world. How many have said, I want to be a soul winner? How many have said, I want to be a prayer warrior? Who said, I want to be great in the kingdom of God? You don't want to walk in places that sully your experience and stain your heart to the degree that you can't fulfill what God has called you to be. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Brother Tony has told me, and he's talked with Brother Freeman, and it'd be clearly possible for us to put a site or something on our church website where our kids could go and communicate with one another. It won't be as sexy. It's downloading music and pictures. And it won't feel as thrilling as being off by yourself where no accountability is. Because it'll be sunshine. Everybody in the church can come by and read what you've said. They say character. It's what you would do if you knew nobody would ever find out. I think that that's true. But it is not a safe day for anybody to walk in a place without accountability. You need to be accountable to somebody. Well, bless God, I'm a grown man. I can do my... Well, you can, and hell's going to be full of grown men. The wrecker yard of the spirit is full of people who have said, I can do this all by myself. Praise God. Well, let me just ask you a question. Why would you want to have a little place where you could write things where nobody saw them? Now, I want to tell you, mom and daddy, something. If you're going to get home and look at MySpace, you better go quick and you better get there first. Because the evidence will be gone. Don't wait till in the morning. Some of these kids are sitting here with sweaty palms right now. They're going, praise God, hallelujah. But I would suggest to all of you that have teenagers that you'd get in there tonight and go on a little expedition and say, come show me where you've been. What we've been doing. Where is it? Show me what you've written, what you've said. Show me your profile. Show me your godly apostolic profile. I'd go there with them tonight. Praise God. Are you okay with all this? Isn't this intrusive? I just tell you, you can go down the road and become something else, and the preacher never will fool with you. I was raised in a church where he knew if he ever caused any trouble, they'd have his check waiting after the service. And he was a wise man because from the time I was 8 to the time I left at 15, he was there the whole time. Some kind of a record for that church. They kicked preachers out regular. But the problem here is while you're here, you can't kick me out. You can leave. But you can't get rid of me. Praise God. That's scary. That's really scary. My God, he's 90 years old. He won't die and he won't leave. I'm telling you. Praise God. Why don't we stand up and come down, gather around the altar? Would you come? If you're a guest and you've lasted this long, why don't you come down around the altar with us? If you're first, come on up. You know the drill. Make room. Christy, I'm so glad you're here. You know about Pentecostal churches? So you know about Holy Ghost?
Yeah, and if my husband's a pastor, preacher, so I got a big old fix everything.
You do? Well, we're so glad you're here. Yeah, whenever you come here, we'll make yourself alone. Praise the Lord. Is there any way, I know it'd be confusion now, but could you get with your family? And if you don't have a family, adopt one right quick. Do like Brother Bert did when he first came to church. He went to Sister Mary and said, can I come home with you? Come on down. They're just shuffling. Come on down. Make some room here now. Make some room for folks. Come on down, make some room. We're all clogged up here in the middle. All right, we're adopting people. My wife's his mom and Sister Katie's his grandmother. Praise God. As you gather together tonight, if you're a dad, or if you're a mom that's leading your household, I want you to turn to the people that are standing with you and tell them, I'm the keeper of the door. Tell them I'm the watchman on the wall. I can't allow just anything to come on. Tell them I can't allow just anything to come in. I'm responsible before God. tell them, before the Lord comes, we may have to do several house cleanings. And then ask them, are you with me? Come on now, tell them if you are. I'm with you. I'm standing right here with you. Praise God. Praise God. While you're standing together, I want you to just begin to pray and ask God, God, how can we glorify you? How can we cause your name to be magnified? What can I do, oh God? What would you like me to do with my life, my house, my family? God, is there anything in my life that's not pleasing to you? Is there anything in my heart, oh God, that's not like you? Teach me, lead me, speak to me, lead me into righteousness, lead me into holiness, oh God. I want to give you glory. I want to give you glory. I want to give you glory. Hallelujah. 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 From the depth of your heart tonight, God, I want to give you glory. Come on. Whatever you ask, oh God.
And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, help me remember Calvary's cross till I'm willing to say yes.
Would you sing it tonight? Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Magnify you.